What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee, put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, right here in Washington, D.C. at The Voice of America Studios. On some of our previous shows, we've talked about identity. And today, we want to talk about hair, another very important expression of an individual's identity. Hair is as equally important, if not more, than many parts of the human body, usually dressed and decorated to reflect the various aspects of our culture, of our society, and in some cases, our religious affiliation. So whether it's on our body, our face or head, whether you have it removed or replaced, relaxed or dyed, or bound or loose or long or short or curly or straight or synthetic, hair has a symbolic significance that many times is used to define and distinguish individuals. For example, the presence and absence of hair can mean many things and reflect our differences either in gender, age, and health. In some societies, hair is perceived as the source of strength, physical strength, or supernatural power. Which brings me to the basis of our discussion today, popular culture and hair. And this we see that in popular culture, silky straight hair has long been considered by many black women and some men to be the hallmark of beauty. And it does take a while to achieve that look, that silky straight look. It often means enduring the chemical straighteners. It also means spending a lot of money on creams, on weaves, on hair extensions, etc. But there are those that are bucking the trend. Of late, many young African women are resisting what they call a dominant cultural pressure to straighten their hair and instead chosen the natural look. That's why we're beginning to see a proliferation of hair salons dedicated to the natural black hairstyles. But we have to recognize also that assumptions about the motives for straightening or wearing natural hair aren't as easy to make as they once were. Some people just style their hair based on what is convenient. Others choose to make a social, cultural, or political statement with their hair. So, what is your hairstyle and what statement are you trying to make with it?
I love my plaited hair. Yeah, I love plaited hair. I mean, it's easy to maintain it. You don't need to, you know, comb, morning, style it, oil. But the natural hair, you have to comb it, style it, put oil.
I do prefer plaited hair. Because there's a way it brings out your inner beauty, and there's a way it keeps on nourishing you each and every other, which is not on the natural hair. Because if you look at plaited hair, first of all, it is cheap, which is not like if you go... If you want to update your natural hair, it is very expensive than it is if you go plaiting. And the other thing, like I told you initially, it brings out your inner beauty.
Yeah, to me, I prefer artificial hair. There is that perception that when you're using artificial hair, you look more prettier than the natural hair. And the natural hair is for old-fashioned women.
For me to treat natural hair is more expensive because I need a lot of work, like conditioning, oils. So I just prefer to braid and stay for it with maybe 3 months. Yeah, because I think that way it's cheaper than keeping natural hair. And artificial hair is easier to take care of.
See, I can kind of recall a little ways back, small trying to ball, always been black, and my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a gummy curly top and all that crap. Now, just trying to be appreciated. Nappy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick, had them give me little twists, and it drove them crazy. But then I couldn't get no job, this corporate wouldn't hire no dreadlocks. Then I thought about my dogs on the block, kinda understand why they chose to steal and rob. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to
say it, but it seems so flawed. Cause success didn't come till I cut it all off. Uh-huh. Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. At 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life.
I prefer natural. And sometimes girls, because they want to move with the trend, because that's what they see, they tend to adopt such a culture because they're influenced by their colleagues.
I prefer natural hair because it makes you look more beautiful, more natural. It's easy to maintain. It's clean. But most women prefer the weaves because they are the ones on style.
It's not true that natural hair is more expensive to maintain, because naturally it's just going to need water and a comb, while it relaxes, it needs you to buy chemical, buy some oil, buy some sprays, buy some gels, just to make it look beautiful and maintainable. While natural hair is just simple as ABC, water, you go bath, you wash your hair, you come, you only put maybe cheap oil, even Vaseline, and you come, you look natural and beautiful. Simple as that.
Who cares if you don't like that? With nothing to lose, posted with the wave cap, and the cops wanna harass, cause I got waves. Ain't seen nothing like that in all my days. Man, you gotta change all this fearance. Steady judging one another by their appearance. Yes, India, I feel you, girl. Now go ahead, talk to the rest of the world, cause
the way I wear my hair make me a better person. There's the way I wear my hair make me a better friend. Oh, there's the way I wear my hair determine my integrity. And expressing my creativity. Breast cancer, chemotherapy.
Colored, blow dried, braided, wig, straightened, curled, or colored. Whatever your hair is, whatever the state it's in, it has an effect on how you feel, right? Let's get talking. Today's show is all about hair. So what does your hair really mean to you? A lot of times you hear women discussing hair, and it becomes apparent that for a lot of women, hair is their crowning glory. And what your hair looks like when you walk out the front door could pretty much have a big impact on how your day is going to go. That's because hair, in many ways, can affect your confidence in the same way as what you're wearing. It makes you feel out there and different, or it makes you feel as though you're embracing current trends, current fashion highs.
Now, Nadia, for many people, hair management is a product of obsession, of attraction, of custom, and in many cases, as many have told me, it's of convenience. Lenore Mudu is a colleague and a friend of mine here at the Voice of America. When I spoke with Lenore, she had hair extensions, and she says that she chose it mainly because of convenience.
Well, I have like 16 inches hair on my head right now, and it's not mine, but because I paid for it, it is. So, yeah, I don't have hair problem. I have the expensive one.
Is that, like, fashionable down there?
Oh, yeah. No one has real hair in this country.
Really?
It's like in Africa, you know, that's how it goes now.
No, wait, I didn't know that. People, like the weaves and the extensions are much more popular than natural hair.
You didn't know that?
No.
Women in Africa use more weaves than in the West, I tell you. You go to Nigeria, not one girl has her own hair. If you do, they ask you, are you okay? Are you having money problems?
Really?
In Nigeria, they will ask you if you have money problems.
Is it a fashion thing or is it still a...
I think it started as a fashion thing. Now it has become second nature.
Mm.
Women do not, like, you see yourself with fake hair and you feel comfortable. If you're real hair, you never feel satisfied, like you look your best.
What's the root of this? Like self-esteem issues? What's kind of like there's a sudden psyche that has been corrupted to the level where a few people don't feel comfortable to be their natural self?
You know, what the images of women, it sounds a bit cliche, but it's the truth. The images of women in magazine, on TV, women are trying to look like what they see, and not all women are trying to look like someone else. That's why they have the fake hair. But I think
everybody wants to look like
it's
Beyonce.
It's a combination. No, I don't want to look like Beyonce. I just want to wake up in the morning and save 20 minutes of my time doing something else instead of figuring out what to do with my hair.
So it's just plain laziness.
It's more about being practical.
It's just laziness.
Yeah, I'm lazy. Yeah, I am. I'm lazy when it comes to beauty. I admit it.
Because your hair is actually as long as the weave that you have. Truly.
Yeah, it is long. You know. But it's just too much work. And I can't go to the salon every day. I don't have time to sit down. You know, it's at least 3 hours in the salon before I get out. And it's just time that I don't have. And then if you have to do that every 2 weeks, it's like at least $80, it's $100. Even if you have the money, I don't have the time.
Does it feel different, or does it become like second nature, becomes part of your body?
At one point, for some women, it is. Me, I can go with my own hair for a while, maybe because my hair is a little bit long. Sometimes I feel even better to have my own hair. But for me, it's just a matter of time. I'm lazy. I mean, I admit it. When it comes to doing my hair, beauty, I hate going to the beauty shop. I hate shopping, but I like nice stuff. If I could have a nice thing without shopping, I'd be happy. If I could have nice hair without going to the beauty salon, I'd be happy.
Can you tell when somebody has it on?
Definitely. There is that type of hair where you don't have to, you can't tell.
So is that the one you buy?
Mm-hmm. It costs a lot of money. I do buy some of those sometimes, but I don't buy the Beyonce kind. There are different levels, different degrees, you know. The Beyonce kind, that one can be like $5,000.
Wait, why? Is that like real human hair?
Uses human hair. I don't know what kind of human Beyonce uses.
Okay, that's a question. Now, that is very disturbing. Very disturbing. I want to know, if Beyonce uses human hair and you use human hair, and her hair is $5,000 and yours is $500, okay? What human being is she using?
I don't know what human being.
Do you understand the craziness here? Right. But I also heard that the best quality hair comes from a horse's ass. Boom.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Believe that when you have natural hair, it's like, you know, you go back to the village part of it, a village girl. Oh, you're broke. You don't have, you know, there's no money to keep you afloat, actually. Some people go to plated. They believe people with plated have a lot of money. You don't have to look good. It's a class to follow.
What I know, if you treat your hair, those chemicals they use to treat the hair, sometimes they tend to endanger our skins if they are applied too much. And if you stay in a dryer for too long, you feel like your head is getting burning. I think it can, in the long run, it can cause an effect to your body or your skin.
All I can say is that I prefer all of them. Natural hair is cheaper to maintain it. And a weave is just there to add volume to my hair. Relaxing hair is just there to make my hair look fresh.
Basically, with hair, different people have different tastes. And it actually depends on who the person is.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi, and the conversation today is on hair and identity. We just heard from Lenore about the popular use of weaves and extensions as a way to avoid all the maintenance on hair, so basically out of convenience. And right now we are joined by Delphine Keza on the line right now. Delphine is a young professional in Boston, Massachusetts. For a while now, she's been sporting a natural look, natural hairstyle. She's in the creative arts industry and she chooses her hairstyle based on how she wants to express herself creatively.
My hairstyle is, it represents who I am. Mm. It's funky, colorful. And so I decided to go natural like a year ago and got to really love the curl. So each woman has the way their hair curls is different.
Okay.
So
you wanted to explore your hair curls.
Yes, I love the way my hair curls. Every day I look at it and I'm like, wow, these are my curls.
It's fascinating to you. You're conducting your own little experiment on your head. Interesting.
Yes.
So when you say you've been with that natural hair look for about a year now?
Yes.
What were you before? What were you doing?
I used to perm my hair. Go straight.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you ever try out the wigs or the weaves or the extensions?
No. I mean, the only extension that would be braids, which is really a natural thing that we do back home in Rwanda. So, but other than that, no, I've never been a fan of weaves because I feel like, you know, you're adding something that's not you, it's not your hair, it's somebody else's hair.
What would you say your hairstyle says about you, the individual?
You know, it's not about going natural for me. It's not about the whole movement for me. It's more about what can you do with your hair that's what defines you. So if I want to put color in my hair, that's what's going to define me. So it's the things you do to that hair that defines you. So for me, it would probably be, you know, because I'm a creative person, I'm in the creative field. So for me, I like to play with my hair. I want to see, would this color look good on me? Would this style look good on me? So, so I try to play it that way. So, you know, I hope my hair says that I'm a bit creative and fun. And
what crazy hair colors have you used?
I mean, I haven't done anything crazy as in red, blue or anything like that, just because I am still in a professional world and that's not me. I don't want to put something that's too crazy.
So there's a boundary in the corporate world that you cannot cross in terms of coloring your hair.
And in terms of also my personality.
You can't express yourself better with the red hair color.
It's more the color that actually reflects well on my skin.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't want to go too crazy.
And what's the,
you
what's the color?
Crazy.
What's your color?
Right now, it's a mixed brown and blonde together.
Mixed blonde and brown. What does that look like? Blonde or brown?
It looks like a.
Like a rainbow. Half rainbow?
Well, what I did was most of my hair, I did it like light brown. And in the front, I put touches of blonde. So when you look at it, it depends on which angle you look at it, you will see a bit of blonde in it.
Now, you mentioned earlier about something briefly, the natural hair movement. What's that? What's the natural hair movement?
Pretty much like over the years, especially here in America, black people decided that, you know, they weren't going to perm their hair because that's not how they were born.
Mm.
So they were being confined to, society telling them that you look beautiful in straight hair, that kinky hair is not attractive. So I feel like over the years, people have gone back to their roots.
Okay.
Back to, no, this is my hair. This is how it looks, and I'm going to be me.
But that wasn't your motivation. Your motivation was to express your creativity.
I mean, it was a little bit of, I wanted to understand what these women were talking about because it was interesting.
Mm.
Just the fact of you just came from being straight for years and then you go natural, you feel different. So I wanted to partake in that and understand how it actually feels. But when I went into the transition, I realized that it was more of the creativity part of it. So I took it, you know, a step farther too.
Well, for
personally, Jackson, I like wearing my hair curly because that's what it naturally is, curly. And it's also the quickest way to wear it in terms of maintenance. You know, shower, wash and go. Just put some serum in it and it's all good to go. A lot of women these days are opting for do's that, you know, requires less maintenance and less time because let's face it, when you're in that rush in the morning and you need to get, you know, get to work, get to where you need to go, you can't really set aside an hour of your day to do your hair. It's just not practical. So a lot of my girlfriends have also opted to go natural lately. Because it takes less maintenance, it's less time, less money, and less fuss. And a lot of them say they feel they can embrace themselves and their heritage more because their hair is now non-relaxed, it's non-synthetic, it's completely natural.
For many people, no matter their race or hair texture, they're always wrestling with issues of identity. And that's why the history of beauty is one of dissatisfaction and constant transformation. For Vienna Mbagaya, she decided to go natural because she has a young daughter and wanted to instill in her a sense of pride about her natural beauty. And she joins me on the show today with our intern, Kwame Asante Ofori, as we continue to explore this issue of hair and identity.
I'm a parent to two young girls who have natural hair. And I just saw them how, you know, they used to look at me when I used to wear a lot of wigs and I used to love weaves. And I still do. I can definitely go back. I love that look. I love having the power to change my look anytime I want. But this time it was more serious. I wanted to look like my kids and I wanted my kids to look like me. I wanted them to have an identity when it comes to beauty. Especially if young girls are growing up in the U.S. These are young black girls growing up in the U.S. where you don't have that many. You don't have positive images of women who look like themselves.
Right. How yeah, they, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to show them, like,
popular
I'm not,
media.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not tearing apart your hair. I'm not hurting you. Your hair is not difficult. It's not bad to have the hair that you have. You know, so I want to be in the struggle with them. If it's a struggle. I want to be in it with them.
So it is a struggle.
It's a shared experience.
I mean, I've spoken to many girls who or women who say that it's very hard to maintain natural hair than to...
Well, I got to be honest.
Do otherwise.
I used to think that. My friend told me, she was like, Aviana, you know, you keep saying, like, the common thing people say when you tell them why you're not natural, do you want to go natural? They'll say, it takes a lot of work. I don't want to deal with my hair every morning. And people assume, like, it's just you and your culture that have, you know, insecurities or have trouble with your hair. But right. It's not just us. There's a lot of women or a lot of cultures
who have. Good. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's not about your culture and the insecurities mm-hmm. that you bring into that. You know, is manifested in your hair. Hmm. What is it? Why do people put on weaves and wigs and all these different things?
Well, to be honest, for me, I like looking different every time. Mm-hmm. I like working at the house and wanting to have this. It's like shoes or bags or clothes. I don't think for a lot of people, yes, it can be tied to their identity and how they feel about themselves. But sometimes it could just be an expression, you know, an artistic expression. I love wearing makeup. I love when, you know how people have funky makeup with the colors and crazy. When I see that, I'm like, oh, how do they do that? But some people might look at the same person and be like, that person's insecure. They don't want to look at themselves. They have makeup on. No.
They're trying to be
somebody else.
Yeah. So just to understand, Vienna, it's more like an identity culturally, but she has accessorized it. Yeah, like...
You know, only you.
Yeah, like... You've sort of picked up the cultural identity aspect of your hair, mm-hmm. and then you are rocking it as an accessory. Growing out your hair this much, it takes a lot of charisma and a lot of painstaking time.
And discipline.
And discipline, and it tells us the kind of woman she is. Mm. Like, she's a disciplined woman to grow such hair. And it's difficult for a man like me to actually... accept the fact that a woman can grow her hair this much. This is the first time I'm actually seeing and touching and believing, because most of my African girls recently, the recent current generation, are not that committed to their hair and maintaining this kind of hair. They'd rather go for something quick, like maybe rasta or a weave. They'll just sit down and cornrows are just placed beneath their hair, and then a weave is sewn in.
But do what they do,
yes,
right?
That is true.
I think
you can assume why they do.
Exactly, because I think, especially for men, mm-hmm. even men of color, for you to talk about black women and why they do what they do. And that's because it is a sensitive topic. You know, mm-hmm. it may be because I'm insecure, but it may be because I also feel beautiful when I look like this. It may be because I'm artistic and every day I want to wear a different wig or weave. I don't think the conversation is about putting women down or saying women who do not wear their hair naturally are shamed. I think it's more about expressing who they are and how they want. So there's freedom for that, right?
That is also.
But I wonder why it matters. Why it matters so much to men? Yeah. Why does it matter whether?
Because again,
I can have braids.
There's something about your hair that really tells us how confident you are in yourself.
True. But there's people who have great hair and they're not confident in themselves at all.
No, but hair is right in your face. That's the same reason why when people see you, Vienna, with your hair, they kind of, you know, gravitate to your head. That's the first thing they see is Vienna's hair.
Before an afro, people still did that.
Like,
you know?
I know a lot of mothers tell their daughters, like, your hair is your crowning glory. Like,
oh, yeah.
I know you were told, maybe, but most women are told your hair is your crowning glory. And it's the first thing a man would notice on you, like looking at you from head to toe. Mm-hmm. So the amount of commitment you put in your hair kind of tells me the kind of person you are. If I see your hair and it's shabby looking, not properly kept, then I know, hey, you need some Jesus.
Do men
Vienna just went gasp, clutching my pearls.
Hold up. Why don't men have that type of pressure with their hair? Or do they have that type of pressure?
I kind of doubt it, but a woman wouldn't like a man looking shabby. Especially with the hair. I mean, if you have
shabby, that's unkempt hair.
Unkempt hair.
Were you ever in a phase?
Believe it or not, I was in a phase where I was like going for dreads. It was very low, very, very low, and well kept. I used to go to the salon, and then I'll sit down for like 3 to 4 hours. They'll pick a comb, there's this cream that you use to lock your hair. They lock it. I sit in a dryer for an hour or an hour, 30 minutes, and then come out, they spray it, and I'm rocking it. That was a phase.
And then you have a new appreciation of your sisters, right?
Well,
I was like, how do they do that? Like, you sit in a dryer for, like, I sit in a dryer for 30 minutes, and I'm weeping, and then the hairdresser is going, like, just keep quiet and remain there. So I have a really serious respect for my sister.
Now,
Vienna,
you don't have to do that now because you have natural hair. You don't have to go through the dryer and all that.
No, because sometimes I add braids. I do a lot of things with my hair. This is probably the first time I've had one type of hair consistently. Like, I typically have, like I said before, the size of shape. So on weekends, I have it as a mohawk. You know, anyway, I was going to go back to what you said about men and hair. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's studies that have shown that men who have dreadlocks are perceived to be more violent, or I guess associated with associated with that crime or poverty or something, like, because it's like, you know, that, you know how dreads look when they're not
well kept.
Yeah, well kept. They look a little messy. And
but that's
becoming,
society.
That's societal.
Because
yeah,
I know women who actually like men
with dreads,
with dreadlocks.
Yeah. But you have to understand,
it projected a certain masculinity.
Okay.
That.
But I'm trying to bring it back to a corporate workspace. Okay. When you go to corporate. Men, when I first started going natural, I was working in a corporate environment, and I remember a black member of leadership at that firm.
No names mentioned.
Calling me in, no firm mentioned either.
Calling
me in, yeah, and to talk to me. He was like, you know, if I were you, I would put my hair back or put a wig on top of your afro. No. He was okay. He was fresh. He was great. But he himself has children, girls, and he was like, I'll tell them the same thing. When you come, he told me, I have black men who are friends of mine who started working at this firm, and I told them, you have to cut off your dreads. And once they did, they saw a difference or a projection in their, I guess, their success or whatever.
Right.
And so black men also have an issue with hair. You know, you've seen how it is. In the NBA, you can have cornrows.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
just the fact that when you associate a certain black hairstyle to a lifestyle that is negatively perceived in the mainstream society, things of that nature. Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi.